Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Dear Diary, I found that the people were the most interesting aspects of Spain.
There's just something about traveling through a foreign land that convinces a teenager they're now wise beyond their years.
I will never forget all the young lovers, hand in hand, breathing each breath as their last, and ignoring the rest of the world as if they were its only inhabitants.
But for teenagers like Lauren Lumsden, traveling often leads to a different kind of awakening.
I will never forget the boys and men being so freewheeling of their whistles and potentially perverted remarks towards all of us girls. It was so fun, this rare method of courtship.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil, and it's International Affairs Week on the podcast.
President Putin, did you want President Trump to win the election?
No, not those kinds of international affairs. The kinds that inspire classic 80s romances like Better Off Dead.
You don't need words to speak the international language. Right, Ricky?
Yes, it's tales of teens who go abroad to experience the world, but are easily distracted by all those sexy European accents.
The summer of 2002, I accompanied my dad on a three-week trip to the Czech Republic. He was going to see a woman named Petra he had met online, and I was along for the ride.
When Ryan McQueen was 16, his father took him to Prague, a city whose beauty is undeniable, if you're actually paying attention to the architecture.
I remember thinking I'd go sightseeing as much as possible. Looking back on it now, I definitely was more interested in girls. At the beginning of the trip, really all I was thinking about was, you know, my friends back home, literally counting down the days till I got home. It wasn't until I found myself among all these really beautiful women that I started thinking about what might be in store for me in the Czech Republic. I don't really remember being so girl crazy, but it's written down in black and white. Rusty in the European Vacation movie is pretty apt an analogy.
Dad, I think he's gonna pork her.
He's not going to pork her, Rusty. Just eat, okay?
I think he is, Dad.
He may pork her, Rust. Just eat, okay?
I had complete lack of game. I didn't even know what the game was or what the rules were or how to play it or anything.
Ryan shared his teenage travel journals at Mortified at Chicago's Lincoln Hall.
I naively bumbled around Prague in hopes of easing my boredom, finding a friend, and learning how to talk to a girl in whatever language was possible. July 1st. Well, that was a fun walk. Actually, it was two walks and not very fun. I saw the hottest girl. Of course, I said nothing. I sat around some and played catch with myself with the football before I went on one more walk. There were a few hot girls sitting together. I was going to ask them if they spoke English, my new pickup line as I see it, but they left. At least I made eye contact. And speaking of eye contact, all I seem to get are stares and weird looks. It makes me wonder how obvious it is I'm an American. Whenever I sleep, I dream of home. So at least I have something to look forward to at night. Oh, thank you. July 2nd. It's so romantic here. Hopefully I'll meet someone soon. I hope to God that I do. I wish I was here with a friend. It would be sweet as hell. We could go to some bars and clubs, but who does that alone? July 7th. Today we took a little trip to some town with a castle. It wasn't a real castle. More of a chateau built for status and appearance. Not defense, but it was cool nonetheless. I just wish I was with a girl to share it. Instead, I'm by myself and it gets really lonely. July 9th. I went online to check my mail while Dad and Petra did their own thing. I must admit, though I'm not picking up too much conversational experience or many girls, I am learning about eye contact. I think you could tell a lot from it. Just look her in the eye, don't wuss out, maintain the eye contact, and smile. I wonder if it means she likes you if she smiles back. Couldn't be bad. July 10th. Oh, man. Today was the best. It may very well have made this entire trip worth it. We rented a car and drove to Carlsbad. Blah, blah, blah. I went to this cool pool on the roof of a hotel overlooking the town. I saw seven, count them, seven pairs of tits by the end of the day. And the girls I saw were so hot. They're like the girls I fantasize about being topless back home. I'm talking balls to the walls, goddess hot here. I couldn't have picked better ones. The first one was sitting with her knees against her chest, and I was thinking, how'd you get like that without flashing anyone? Then there she was, sitting up with her arms behind her, breasts on display. I'm getting giddy just thinking about it. I'm such a repressed little American boy. Next girl I saw put her legs down, and it was showtime. She actually got up in nothing but little bikini bottoms. Then she got into the water and swam to the other end. I was like 6 feet away when she passed. I would have killed for goggles. There were two really hot girls just in cute little summer dresses. But then, out of nowhere, one pulled off her dress so she was only in a tiny, tiny little thong bikini bottom. She was practically naked. Her whole ass was showing, and it was magnificent. At first, I thought she actually was naked. I had to go look from another angle just to be sure. She was so hot. No amount of O's can convey how hot she was. All naked. God, I still can hardly believe it happened. Every once in a while, I did a little happy dance. More of a jig, really. I was grinning like a fool and shaking. It was so great. The rest of the day actually sucked, except for the huge number of gorgeous girls about, which is why Carlsbad is now known as the City of Goddesses to me.
That was one of the first times I ever saw female nudity in person. I was not prepared for it. I thought I was going to faint. It was kind of eye-opening to see that there was another standard of, you know, what's acceptable and what's a big deal and what isn't. It made me feel very repressed and immature and unsophisticated.
I just walked back to the cottage with a stop for a beer. I actually had two, and oh my God, Dad and Petra are having sex. Oh, God, this is so gross. Words cannot express how gross this is. I heard noises, so I went to my door to get a better listen. Then I heard Petra moaning, yes. Fuck. I am so disgusted right now. I think I'm going to have nightmares. Okay, get a grip. Where was I? Ew, I can't get a grip. All right, off to bed to nightmares of ew, ew. So gross. Although difficult to stomach, it definitely motivated me to stay away from my father and Petra as much as possible, which helped me find kids my age who I could hang out with and actually talk to. I began to like it there. July 13th, 2 days later, I met three whole kids my age, Mike, Jane, and Sue. Mike speaks decent English. I told Mike I thought Jane was hot. Then Sue told her what I said. Mike said, she said I was interesting. Don't know if something was lost in the translation or what, but that doesn't sound too good. They taught me new words. Chorak, puji, and kaj. Cock, pussy, and breasts, respectively. I started getting the hang of meeting new people and swearing in Czech. I was over any fears of going places alone, and it seemed like it was paying dividends. July 20th. I don't even know how to begin this entry. I'm still in shock hours after it happened. It was very hot in the disco, so I suggested we go outside. So me and Jane did. We found a bench and got close. I got to talk to her some. She got cold. I gave her my shirt. I put my arm around her, and she let her hand rub my leg. After much longer than it should have been, I got up the guts to make a move and kissed her. It was great. We made out for a while on and off until we went back to the disco. The bus back was the best. Her friend had the bright idea to have her sit in my lap. I had my arms around her, and she pulled them off. She was talking about me in Czech, and Mike said it was not nice. I just hope that she had planned to do that to me, and it wasn't something I did that made her dislike me. Because one way makes it funny, and the other is sad. So that was most of my night. The basic headline being, I got played. How come it gets to be so much fun just when I have to leave? It pisses me off. Why couldn't I have met these beautiful women 3 weeks ago? Damn it, it is going to be hard to go back home.
To this day, I'm not entirely sure what happened in that situation. I was super nervous. My experience with kissing a girl was very limited. I did my best. I probably wasn't very good. It was the culmination of a lot of wishful thinking to finally work up the courage to kiss a girl.
Last night especially was filled with so much fun, excitement, and possibilities. All possibilities I will never be able to explore. The beautiful girls I met, I will probably, most likely, never see again. I don't even have a pic to remember them by. No address, no email, no number, no way to keep in touch. I want to spend the night with the part of this country I'll miss the most, the women. Sigh. Oh well. I've had a lot of fun and learned a lot of new things. It's been a good trip. And oh yeah, these are Czech words I know. Pivo, sekuje, prosim, brambori, stanina, česky, ahoy, and kuzi. Beer, thank you, please, potatoes, bacon, check, hello, goodbye, and boobs, respectively.
That was Ryan McQueen in Chicago at Lincoln Hall. And in a moment, more international affairs. But first, this message from our friends at Care Of. Now, if you wake up every morning feeling groggy and void of energy, you might want to consider checking out Care Of, a monthly subscription service that delivers completely personalized vitamins right to your door. I just started my own subscription by going to their site and filling out a short quiz that took less than 5 minutes. And Care Of created a customized list of vitamins tailored specifically for my needs and lifestyle, and I can rest easy knowing Care Of's recommendations are backed by a scientific advisory board. Within days, I received my first shipment of vitamins, which came in this attractive dispenser and is filled with easy-to-remember daily packs. Get 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins by visiting takecareof.com and enter promo code MORTIFIED at checkout. That's takecareof.com. Use promo code MORTIFIED at checkout.
Before I did my year abroad in Spain, I was a pretty quiet high schooler, a little bit of a wallflower. I think I was very lonely in high school because I, you know, felt like I had stuff to say, but was too nervous and anxious to actually say it. And that was frustrating. And, you know, I wasn't sure if that side of myself was ever going to come out. I didn't really step outside the edges of my comfort zone. I was the one sitting by my locker at lunch doing math homework.
As a teenager, Natalie Rovlivker didn't like the way people saw her. That is, until the day she discovered how to reinvent herself.
I spent 9 months in Spain, my entire junior year of high school. I was definitely excited to be far away from people that had a certain perception of me. Definitely made me want to be more scandalous, more spontaneous, more impulsive. But it's hard when you're used to being a certain type of person for so long to actually just like snap your fingers and become different.
Natalie shared her teenage diary at a Mortified event in Baltimore.
September 12th, 1999. I feel so weird, so serene. It's so hard to believe that in 2 days I'll be in an airplane on my way to Spain. I only hope that I will continue to write in this very expensive new journal that I bought. I'm really excited about going out and living more. Going to clubs and bars, parentheses, but not drinking alcoholic beverages, close parentheses. And meeting people, guys to be specific. As much as I love being sheltered by my parents, it'll be nice to be away from their protection. So Spain was my first experience of, you know, a little bit of independence. And for me, that was about chasing all of the boys. October 5th. I know that I shouldn't even look at the American guys, but there's this one guy named Sam from West Virginia who's in a couple of my classes and is pretty good looking and really nice. I haven't even spoken to any Spanish guys except at the gym. I've got to go on a manhunt this weekend. October 12th. My American friends and I were sitting near school when this guy walks up and talks to us. His name was Victor, and he's from Algeria, where they speak French. And he's been living in Spain for 9 months. Victor and I went to a cafe, yada, yada, yada. I have his cologne on me. Just kidding. We talked at the cafe. He said that he doesn't smoke or drink, so he's either too perfect or a liar. But let's think positively. After that, we walked around and he took me to his car. We started to go for a ride, but by then I became a little smarter and asked him to park so that we could keep walking where there were lights and lots of people. Also, he's really good looking. He looks a little bit like Billy Zane, actually. Anyway, we sat on the bench and he started to kiss me. That was my first makeout session. It was kind of sloppy and there was an exchange of tongues. I was sitting with my back against his front. And let me tell you, it wasn't his leg that I felt against my back. I guess it's good that I excited him. I know that I've known him for less than a day, but it feels like forever. I still can't believe it. I have to pinch myself many times. Yay! So a few months later, after taking the SATs, because high school, I went out to the local clubs with my friend Melissa. January 22nd, 2000. After dancing, if what I even do is called dancing, it's not. We went to get our coats, but couldn't find them. Finally, two guys helped us, so we started talking to them. Then I asked if they wanted to come with us. They did, so we went to another club right next to it and danced for a while. They're both Spanish and 18. Sounds good already. One of them, Daniel, was kind of cute and he was nice. He's in pastry school. The other one, Fernando, is so good looking. He's studying to be a mechanic. I like Fernando the best, but hey, I'm not picky. Anyway, we're going to meet again next Friday. I am so excited. It would be so wonderful to have a Spanish boyfriend. January 29th. I spent quite a lot of time getting ready. Then at 9:15, I met with Melissa again, and we went to the clubs. Fernando came from the bar with a silly smile and gave me a sort of hug along with the hello kisses. He was really drunk, and I wanted to be with him, so I decided to have a couple of drinks. I ended up having one shot with fresa and liquor first. Then I had a TGV, aka tequila, gin, and vodka. That was a little bit stronger. Then a bartender gave us free drinks, so I had a shot of whatever he put in my glass. I got a little lightheaded, but not as drunk as I acted. We stood around for a while, and then he came over and kissed me. Oh God, it was so amazing. I can't even describe how I felt. I was just so happy to be close to him. But before it got too euphoric, He fell down. He was so drunk that he couldn't even keep his balance. After getting back up, we sort of stood against the wall and he looked kind of sick. I wanted to kiss him again, but I decided he was too sick. God, I like him so much, I can't explain it. Here I am, 16, having such strong feelings about a guy I barely know. I'm going to have to take it easy on the drinking when I'm around him. February 19th. Today was awesome! I got so drunk! But it was great! I made out with one of the guys. He was pretty ugly and a horrible kisser, but whatever. I absolutely love that whole group. I think that at the end of the night, Fernando asked if I wanted to fuck as friends. I'm almost positive he did, but we'll find out next week. I hope so. I would definitely lose my virginity to him.
I think part of what happened to me in Spain, once I started going out and interacting with the boys, was this strange sort of empowerment. I was excited that I was starting to see the effect of, you know, a little bit of sexuality, you know, around these boys. And so I think that the romantic notion of, you know, a relationship and even sex with a boy was exciting to me, but kind of what really moved it forward was me wanting to do it for myself.
February 27th. On the way home, I thought about next Saturday with Fernando. What more could I ask for to lose my virginity to a guy that I'm absolutely in love with? This week is gonna be so long! March 3rd. I asked Chloe what type of condom to buy, and she gave me one. Wow, I can't believe tomorrow I might lose my virginity. This whole week, I've been thinking about where we'd go. His house, a car, the park, a bathroom. I'm nervous, but really excited, I have to admit. Well, we'll see how it goes. March 4th. Yes, I'm still a virgin. Somehow I knew that I'd be writing that. It's not that I didn't do anything, though. Outside, I told him that I didn't want to go to a park, so we were kind of stuck. We went back to the club to do it in the girls' bathroom. He put the condom on and tried to excite himself. And I took down my pants. But my friends, my wonderful friends, kept coming and yelling to see if I was in there, and they made him nervous. That's reasonable. Then we tried, but there was no space. And seeing as how I had never done it before, I didn't really know how to make it work. It was an experience that I'm going to laugh about later when I think about how I lost my virginity. Apparently, so are a lot of other people. All right, guys, that was March 4th. A month and a half later, I went for spring break to Mallorca, which is a great place to send 16-year-old horny people. April 23rd. Today, I lost my virginity. I don't even know how I feel about it. Everything's kind of weird. We all went to the club Scorpio. At the bar, I ended up getting a vodka on the rocks. But it took a while, so while I was waiting, I talked to the guy next to me. His name was no other than Fernando. He's from Brazil, living in Portugal, visiting Spain. After finishing our drinks, we went and sat down in a corner of the club and talked for a while. And then we made out heavy duty for more than an hour. It was so hard that now I have a swollen lip. We made our way to the beach right in front of my hotel, kissed for a while, then I asked him about a condom. He said that he had one and should he use it? I said yes, so we put it on and pushed his way into me. I had to keep telling him despacio because he went so fast. Everything has gotten so out of control here. Drinking, smoking. Yeah, I started smoking about 50 pages ago. Now sex. It doesn't feel like my life at all. I think I'm forgetting how to think.
It was not as romantic as I perhaps envisioned my first sexual experience. You know, the music swells, you're on the beach, there's moonlight. But at the same time, there was also something sort of mechanical about it almost. Don't have sex on the beach. That's one of those things that looks very romantic on film and with nice music, but in reality, sand gets everywhere. I remember on the plane ride on the way back from Spain, reflecting on how much of an adult I felt like, and I felt very mature. Like, I was a different person.
So here is the final entry. June 8th. Now I'm on a plane, a nice one, a 777 with televisions in the seats. I feel a hole in my heart to think that I'm going so far away from what I love so much and from everything that makes me happy. I have a sense of worry and panic, anxiousness maybe, to see how going home will affect how I feel about my experience in Spain. Only time will tell. Thank you.
And this concludes our look at international affairs, where we learned the true key to diplomacy is showing reverence for other cultures.
I saw seven, count them, seven pairs of tits by the end of the day.
To share the shame, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about upcoming Mortified live events in your area, our series on Netflix, or to order your copy of My Mortified Life, the official diary of this show, where you can even journal about your own steamy international affairs.
Right, Ricky.
As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from BRX. And if your company would like to support our podcast, that's great. Just email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hedley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Ketcher. Stories were produced for the stage by Shada Grandis and Alex Hewitt. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to Ad Zerk, interns Joey Fishcrown and Kylie Harrington, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we're fragile, and we all survived.